And welcome to Always Pressing PGA DFS weekly podcast brought to you by thesportsdegens.com and the wonderful guests that I will have every week, or co-hosts, I should say. Not even guests, they're my co-hosts, they're my boys. As usual, you guys got to hear their lovely voices last week. You've heard Jesse plenty of times. Jesse, you can find on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how we doing?
Doing well, Bubba.
Good, good. And then you got his debut last week. Find him on Twitter at Big Bucks No Whammies. Or actually, yeah, Big Bucks No Whammies is his name. BP Snow 11 at BP Snow 11. Bucks, how we doing?
Doing well, guys. Doing well.
Awesome, awesome. This is going to be fun weekly deal. For those that still haven't paid attention, check us out at Always Pressing Pod on Twitter. We'll do a quick recap of last week, and then we'll get into what everybody really cares about, the PGA DFS. Jesse, if you want to kick us off, what were your thoughts on the tournament as a whole, the scoring fest that was the Canadian Open?
Yeah, a real birdie fest actually broke out, and it was, you know, a little bit different than previous weeks or previous years, I guess, up there. I didn't get to watch a whole lot of it. I was I was at a golf, I guess, tournament or deal. It's a golf outing with my buddies every year. But anyways, either way, Johnny Vegas repeated. Charlie Hoffman still cannot close a golf tournament. You know, just your typical Canadian Open type of stuff, apparently.
What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, a lot of the same. I mean, I was not shocked to see the scoring. I think I had the winning score 16 or 17 under, which they blew by that pretty easily. But it was cool to see a golf course that, I mean, we haven't had a tournament in a while where people were just going super low, and it was the guys that make a ton of birdies that were really in contention. And that's kind of what we thought last week, which is why we had a lot of really solid picks. So,
yeah, as a whole, the picks wise, pretty darn good. It was like one here and there. I know Ben Martin was my bugaboo, and everybody seemed to have one or two. But as a whole, there's a lot of good stuff out there, like the whole Charlie Hoffman. There's no reason to fade him at his price tag thing. And yeah, it was really good to see. Really, really good to see. Finau, most of our picks to win at least top five did, so that was respectable. But
did you mention Garrigus last week? I know one of us talked about him. I couldn't remember if it was me or you or Bucks.
That was not me. So it was Bucks.
That was you, Jesse. And then I echo the fact how you're right, because when he gets going, he's going. I used him a ton at the end of last year, and he was at least a cut maker, if not contending, at least somewhat. So yeah, that was all you.
Yeah, he's top five. My dad was raving all weekend about how you picked him, and I kept saying, like, I was with my dad this weekend in this golf outing. He's like, yeah, man, I was listening to Bubba. Bubba said to pick Garrigus. I was like, Dad, that was me. No, Bubba. Bubba said it. I'm like, Dad.
Well, thanks, you got Jesse. That. Thanks, that's Jesse's dad. I appreciate it. Yeah, but it was pretty good. If Ben Martin, who I loved a lot, would have done well, that would have been awesome. But a lot of our mid-price guys did very, very well. So as a whole, people should have been pretty happy, even though – I think I saw like a winning GPP score was Kenny Kim had a 703. So you had to
go crazy. The best was about 699, because he that score himself that he had there was before he lost 10 points for, because he had Hoffman. Yeah, so it was pre-playoff. Anyways, either way, 699 won the $33. So almost 700 points is
Bucks, I've got a quick question for you, because a lot of you guys don't know Bucks' strategy. He's usually a three lineup only, and he just goes to pound town with it. Now,
yes,
you went a little off the radar this week. How did you like being a degen like the rest of us and making way too many lineups?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was fun to have a sweat for the first week in what seems like forever. But with the way the scoring was going to be, I was having a hard time being really comfortable with just three lineups. So many guys that I wanted to play in like the 7,000 range. So I had 25 entries into the $33, $8, the $4, and it, I did a little better than break even, which was awesome. My high score was something in the 640 range. But still, I mean, 640 in the 33 didn't even crack $500. So, crazy scores last week. But it was fun dabbling in that many lineups just to have a sweat.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wanted to get your opinion, cause it's something we like to do, but I'm trying to cut back. It's just not easy once you get that taste.
Yeah.
We're gonna get going to the WGC here, but I just have one more question. Either you guys, both you guys, whatever. Is it just me, or does it seem like, you know, we started out at least like a month or so ago, it was a lot of weirdness going on, but lately it's been a little more chalky. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it does.
I think it's been chalky all year, to be honest with you.
Well,
for the most part.
I mean, there were some weeks there where less than 5% were hitting 6 of 6, but the last couple, yeah, I mean, it's been 20% in that range, which, you know, I think that's about what it really should be on a week-to-week basis. You'll have some weeks where it's a lot more, some weeks where it's a lot less, but yeah. Last couple of weeks, I mean, 6 of 6 didn't guarantee much of anything.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, last week was the first week in a while where – if you didn't have 6 for 6, there was a small percentage that you were going to cash.
Right.
Yeah. I only made 3 lineups last week. I behaved myself. And I had 2 5 of 6s that were like literally, when you look at your screen, were right on the line, not cashing. It was so much fun to look at. Yeah. So much fun. Thank you, Ben Martin. No, I regress. Let's go to the WGC Bridgestone. It's a pretty unique event, a zero-cut event, as you guys were telling me earlier. 76 guys are in the field, 49 of the top 50. Anything else that makes this event quite unique, or is that just about it, guys?
Yeah, I think it's, for me, it's one of the – that isn't a major. I mean, it's one of my favorite events every year. I grew up in the Tiger era, and he dominated this event for so long. Even I think he won in 2013, so it wasn't too long ago. Field strength is astronomical. The scores are typically pretty low. I think it's an average of like 14 under, 13 under, something like that. But it's just a fun tournament to watch. I mean, it's a old, I think, Pete Dye? Is it Pete Dye
that designed it? Yeah. Robert Penn Jones.
Okay, yeah. So there's a lot of action holes. There's a lot of risk reward holes, and the crowds are typically pretty close to, and so it's really fun to watch.
Yeah.
It's in it's on the Firestone South Country Club course, Akron, Ohio. Right now, they're saying it's 95 degrees, so this might be a warm week in Ohio. Jesse, do you have any past event stuff you'd like to bring up?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's got a lot of history. I mean, Tiger Woods won this golf tournament in 99, 2000, 2001, 2005, 2006, 2007, 2013. So, I mean, he's won it a bunch of times, but, I mean, it's one of those tournaments where you see a lot of big names rise to the top. DJ won it last year. Shane Lowry the year before. Not necessarily that big of a name, but he's pretty well known. Rory McIlroy won it in 14. Adam Scott is a past champion here. Vijay Singh. A lot of big names have won this. And last year was kind of low scoring. I think DJ won it at -6, but it was more well known for the infamous Berger one shot WD. Get my paycheck and get out of town.
That was the event where all right, now that makes a lot more sense. By the way, you forgot to mention the big name that won in 2012 that I was kind of half chuckled at last week when I picked him for the Canadian Open. Just mentioned that.
I purposely did not mention that.
I figured as much. Butch, why don't you take us away with some course preview?
Yes, a 7,400 yards, par 70. The heat this week is playing pretty dry, I would imagine. And so the interesting thing about this course is that obviously at a par 70, there's only a few par fives, a big bump to par four scoring. I think it was built in 1960 or somewhere in the 60s. And so typically there's a lot of false fronts, smaller greens, target golf, that kind of thing. For all the course can be had. And so you're kind of looking at, I know we're going to get into it next category, but you're kind of looking at a field like this. It's hard to ignore any of the stats, but a big focus on par four scoring, a big push with dry conditions on accuracy off the tee had this week.
Anything else you want to add, Jesse, or that pretty much wrap it up?
I mean, that's pretty much it. You know, the two par fives is, you know, like you said, par 70, playing around 7,400. Two par fives, one of them is reachable, the other one is probably not. So there's potential for some eagles on one of the par fives, more than likely not on the other par five. But yeah, it's just it's an old golf course, been there for a long time, which is good in that, you know, a lot of these guys have played it a bunch and know more so the breaks on the greens, where to hit the ball off the tee, where to hit the ball on the green, so on and so forth. So a lot of history, and just it's a pretty prestigious place, Firestone, is as far as golf courses go.
Okay, Buck's already mentioned some of the key stats he's looking for. What are you looking for, Jesse?
You know, I'm looking a lot at my typical stats, green regulation, driving distance, driving accuracy. But one thing that I typically do in no-cut events is focus more on birdie or better, because obviously with no cut, you know, you want guys who can go out and make birdies. And so getting the guys who get the higher scores, even if maybe they don't finish as high because they make a few more bogeys, is if they're throwing out a lot of birdies with more bogeys in a no-cut event, you know, you're going to be better off on DraftKings-wise. Yep. So I put more emphasis on the birdie or better this week than I usually do. And then just my typical, you know, a lot of times focus on green regulation, and it's got a pretty big correlation to birdie or better, to be honest with you. So
that makes sense. Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And that's a good point you make for those that maybe are new to the non-cut event DFS. A bad round, it doesn't, you know, ruin your week. It probably doesn't help you from cashing big, but it doesn't ruin your week, because if these guys can score, like you saw in like the British Open on the Saturday when he shot, I can't remember his name now, shot a 61 or whatever, the 800. That kind of scoring just completely turns you around. So as long as they just don't have the massive blow up, you have the potential to make some interesting numbers out there. Birdie or better is very, very important.
Exactly. Yeah, I'd put a focus on par four scoring, but yeah, definitely the birdie or better. And look at those guys that have some super low rounds out there. Because you're absolutely right. I mean, with a no cut, you can shoot one day. As long as you have two or three really low rounds, you're fine. And so,
yeah.
But I think it's important to note, though, with the field this strong, you kind of have to look at all the stats because they all come into play at this course. But look at the guys that are trending. And so recent form is big for me this week. Birdie or better than par four scoring.
Yeah, I like that. A lot of the time when I'm picking my guys, and is it always right? No, but I'm a big recent form guy just in general, because I like a guy when he's feeling good and playing well to go to his next event with the confidence. I think that's big in my mind. But yeah, definitely scoring. I don't know if we'll take him. We'll get to him. But just off the top of my head, a guy like a Justin Thomas, who we've seen shoot a lot of low 60s out of nowhere, those will come in handy this weekend. So not saying play him. We'll get to him. But I'm just saying that's the kind of guy you got to think about at times. And he's relatively full.
I'm saying play him.
Yeah. Well, so I figured we would. But I want to, like, ruin everything here. With that said, let's get into the picks. Let's get into the picks before I just give every play away before we even talk about him. We got – 6 guys over 10,000 this week. So obviously, they'll be some of the best in the world. You have Mr. the Open champion, Jordan Spieth, at 12,000, DJ at 11,800, who played really well last week after people thought he might have been ruined in his final round at the Open. You got Rory at 11,400 with his best man on the bag. Yeah, Brooks Koepka at 11-1. That's the one up here that kind of stands out to me. He's playing great golf, but that's quite a hike for him. Ricky Fowler, 10-6, and Hideki Matsuyama, 10-2. Jesse, who are you looking at in this top tier?
Yeah, I mean, I can see Jordan Spieth being pretty chalky, even at that high price, because of the fact that I think Stars and Scrubs will be super popular this week. And he was 20% at the British Open, so I don't know why that isn't at that number or higher this week, even with the higher price. So he's interesting to me just because his recent form is very good. Obviously, he wins a major the last time out. But I think he's fadeable potentially due to the high ownership. So it'll be interesting to see how highly touted he is this week. I mean, you can make a case for anybody up here in this range. The other guy that I like, and I like him more so on FanDuel than I do on DraftKings, just because he does have a price reduction over on FanDuel. Brooks Koepka, he's 8,600 on FanDuel, so I'll probably play him quite a bit more over there than I will on DraftKings. I'm not a big fan of the price 11-1 here on DK, so you know I'll probably get my exposure to him on FanDuel because he's one of those guys like we were just talking about, makes a lot of birdies. He has blow up holes every now and again, so you know that's kind of what you're looking for this week, though, the guy who can just go low. I think Ricky will be chalky again. And Rory, I don't know what to do with Rory. What do you think about Rory Bucks with a new guy on his bag?
Yeah, with all those guys up top, he's one of those guys that going to be fading. He looked any time, and I was talking to somebody about this earlier, but anytime you have like a major change, like a caddy in that relationship. I believe there's always going to be a little bit of regression. And I tried to ignore it with Phil, but you could definitely see that there was something going on with Phil at the British after he changed with Bones. So Rory, I'm definitely going to be fading. There's so many guys up top, but Spieth and Hideki are probably the only three that I'm looking at up top. Spieth, I may play in one event. Or one of my lineups, I'm going back to my three this week. And I sprinkle in there. The only one that I really am fading this week hard is Ricky Fowler. His swing looked way off at the British. He is not a great par four scorer. He's good overall and all around. He makes a lot of birdies, but right at the British, and I'm not going to waste a shot at one of my lineups in KC. Kind of, and even, and that's price range. If he doesn't come in the top 10 or 12, he's no value to me. So I'm banking on him kind of coming outside the top 12 and for me.
Yeah. I'm only kind of focusing on two guys up here. Spieth, I'm not going to use because I think he's going to be too chalky, but he's playing great, obviously.
Yep.
I am intrigued by the Rory angle just because I think a lot of people are going to say everything you guys just said. And it's just a GPP type play. Like you, because yeah, Everyone's so good in this tournament, you have to get different somewhere. And he looked really, really good at the British, something we all thought wasn't possible with Ricky or with Rory right now. Yeah. And his last three Bridgestone events, top five, or tied for five, T27, and he won. So he plays well at the Bridgestone. It is worrisome, like you said, the caddy player relationship. I get that. But his tee to green and his approach are all really, really good right now. So there's a lot to like with that. And then I like DJ a lot. I know he's going to be chalky. He should be chalky like every week. But when he's driving it the way he was driving it, which was better at the Canadian, you know, he hits it so well. If it is dry, that ball's going to roll. And he's going to have short little shots into the green. Heck, he went 390 on the 18th at the Canadian. When he's dialed in, it's going to be scary. So those will be the two guys I'll be looking at up top. But with a field like this, we said it even at the Canadian, which not even close to a field like this, you don't have to get crazy up top if you really don't want to. It's a way to be different if you want to go that way.
No. Yeah, I was looking at that earlier. The last three years, something like that, this event – having more of a balanced lineup have actually cashed more than the Stars and Scrubs. Obviously, you have some winners like DJ and Rory out there, but outside of that, a lot of the major winners didn't go like three top, three low, and then middling around the 7,500 to 8K range.
Well, that's great to hear. That's my kind of strategy.
Yeah.
Let's get into the 9K range, and this is where you could start doing some damage. These guys are all, obviously, I'm going to repeat myself over and over, really good players, shocker. You got Justin Rose, 9,900, John Rahm, 97, Stenson, 95, Day, 94, Kuchar, 93, has been playing great golf until he wobbled a little bit, but still played well. You got Sergio, 92, and then we got Jesse's boy. Maybe he wins it this week. I don't know, but Paul Casey's 9,000. Bucks, what do you got here?
Yeah, so I think this is another one of those ranges where you can make an argument for everybody. But there are three guys that I'm kind of looking at in this range. One, and he's going to be one of my core plays this week, is John Rahm. He gives me a reason not to. He makes a ton of birdies. He's sixth in par four scoring, play off the tee for the most part. He can blow up. I mean, that's part of it, but this is a no-cut event. That dude is going to make some birdies. So John Rahm is going to be one of my main core plays this week. And then Jason Day in the 9K range is king to me. I mean, the guy has not been playing great golf, but you're kind of stepping into his world here at the WGC. He's played Firestone a ton, and I think he's starting to peak at the right moment. And at this price tag, I mean, you're getting a former one really cheap. And then Jesse's boy, Casey, can't not go with him. He'll be in at least one of my lineups. Fifth in par four scoring, and he leads a couple other categories as well. He's solid.
Yep. What do you got, Jesse?
Yeah, I'm with you on Rahm. I think Jason Day, I just wonder, the only thing on Day is if he can go under the radar as far as being highly touted. I don't know that it's going to happen, but if he does, I think he's a great play. If people catch on to the fact that he's at 9,400 and people start saying, well, you know, you should play him because he's so cheap, then I see a fade there for myself. But I do think he's getting his game back. I also like Henrik Stenson. You know, any golf course that's long and requires a lot of, you know, good iron shots, maybe long iron shots on occasion as well. I'll take Henrik Stenson all day. I don't know about Paul, to be honest with you, this week. I've been riding him, and so I'll probably have some exposure to him this week, but it's not going to be anything up to the top like I have in weeks past.
Don't kid yourself.
I mean, he's all right. But at 9,000, to be honest with you, I'd really probably rather, you know, dip down to one of these guys we're getting ready to talk about in a no-cut event, or
yeah,
you know, spend a little bit more and get Stenson or Rahm myself. Yep. I mean, Paul Casey just doesn't scream birdie maker like some of these other guys do. So, like I said, I'll have some exposure to him, but I'm not going to be over and above like I usually am.
Right. One guy I'm looking at, again, it's my GPP mentality on this, but Justin Rose at 9,900 for the fact that I think everyone's either going to go up or they're going to start with Rahm. And I think he gets overlooked quite a bit this week. And we know how well he can play when he can actually putt the ball a little bit. So I like Rose to be a nice little low-owned play up top here. I'm on the Rahm train with you. That's why I think Rahm will be – people will focus on that number right there because the guy is just ridiculously talented. Kuchar worries me because the guy just doesn't take a weekend off. How eventually your body has to tell you no, right? Just theory. Like, Jesus Christ, I know he wears Skechers, so he's extra comfortable, but eventually they got to catch up with you.
He has played Yeah.
But he's always consistent.
And the one thing I mentioned to you after the British Open when we did that first pod is – Kuchar's one of those guys that's always kind of going to be around, but I don't see him ever lighting the world on fire. I mean, he can go low, but I don't see him going 17, 18 under potentially, especially on a course that there's so many bombers out there that can go low.
Yeah, so that's a good, really good point. So I'm looking at Rose, ROM. I'll probably have a little Stenson because I somehow always have a little Stenson. And then I'm going to have to look more into it. Sergio just – he's not a major scorer, though, like you said, with Kuchar. It's just he has that potential where he could. And then Casey, I will have Casey. I'm not going to be in denial like Jesse. I will have Casey, so we'll go there. But I'll be staying up top in the 9K range.
I don't know about Sergio. I mean, Sergio just – he hasn't looked very good in recent weeks. So, I mean, I think I'd rather have Casey or Stenson than Sergio. But we'll see how it ends up shaking out. But he just – I don't know. Recent weeks, he's just been weird.
Yep.
He did finish second at the BMW. But other than that, he's just kind of been hanging around top 20. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. He just doesn't intrigue me like some other people do.
Well, he makes up so many strokes with the driver, and he's not been hitting that great. So.
Right.
True. Very true. All right, let's go to the 8K range where it's going to get really fun here. You got Adam Scott, 88, Grace, 88, Fleetwood, 84, Berger, 83, JT is $8,200, Noren, 81, Leishman, 8K, and Zach Johnson, 8K. There's a lot to like here. Jesse, kick us off in the 8K range.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to ignore Adam Scott at $8,800. You know, guy just is a world-class ball striker. Hits it down the middle, hits a lot of greens. If he can get the putter going, that's the question. So I think he's a good GPP play. We'll talk a little bit more about GPP versus cash here in a little bit, but I like him in GPPs just because if you start your lineup with Adam Scott – and then stay below him, you're going to be different and not, you know, because there's going to be a lot of ownership 9,000 and above. So if you're down here and you start here and stay disciplined, you can make a different lineup for a big GPP like the $33, which has 21,000 people in it this week. I'm going back to Tommy Fleetwood. I hope everybody still hates him. I'll have some of him. And this is the time to talk about, you know, obviously – Justin Thomas is in his ability to either shoot 80 or 62.
He's outstanding because you look at his stats, his tee to green is great, his approach is great, his par four scoring is great. He can't scramble. So as long as he's got to stay out of trouble, and he's going to be putting up a low number, I think.
Three straight missed cuts, too.
Yeah, so I'm hoping people are scared off him, but I know I remember this from previous no-cut tournaments this year. He flourishes in these full four-round tournaments. He really does.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you can almost guarantee there's going to be one round where he goes 65 or less.
Yeah. What do you got on this one, Bucks?
A lot of what Jesse had, I think there's only a few guys here that I'm kind of targeting because there's so many guys below that I like as well. But to me, that stand out in this range – especially no cut, like we just talked about, Justin Thomas, and then Berger as well. I think both of those guys, mentality that you'd see in like a ROM, where pressure, they're going to go out there, blast it around, make birdies. And so JT at that price point is probably going to be chalky, but I'm only going to have a couple lineups, so I'm going to have him in there. And so JT's probably going to be one of my core guys. Second ring, off the charts in driving distance, birdie or better percentages, that kind of thing. As long as he can hit greens and avoid bogeys this week, he's going to be money.
Yeah, totally. I'm fully on board with the Adam Scott call, Jesse. That's one of the guys I was looking at earlier today. That price tag, if he's putting, is going to be ridiculously low, way too low. Because we know he does everything else at like a top tier level. So, he's definitely worth the play. And like we've all said it a million times now, JT, you have to really think about him. Like, I understand the blow-ups there, but we've said the blow-up does not kill you. This guy finds ways to go low, so JT will make his way into my lineups. I like Berger, just like Buck said there. I like the way he's playing, his form. I know he struggled in recent I guess his last start, he got a first. If this is right, that can't be right. But Berger and then Leishman. His recent form, which is big for me, like I told you guys earlier, is really, really good. He got top six, or tied sixth at the Open, tied fifth at Quicken Loans, 17, 27th at the U.S. Open. playing some really, really good golf, and he went low his last two rounds of the Open, and some one of them was a tough condition day. So I think there's a lot to like with Leishman, in my opinion.
I agree.
I want to ask you guys about one guy, because he's every week I look at him, and some weeks I play him, some weeks I don't, because I know how super talented he is, but it's like top six cut, tied 10th cut. Alexander Noren, what are your guys' thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's interesting. I mean, he's a top 10 player in the world, and you're getting him for a top 20-ish price or whatever. So in a no-cut event, I think he's worth a shot.
Yeah, he's okay. Good. He'll be one of those lowering plays just because there's so many other big names around him. But he's definitely a sneaky GPP play for sure.
I agree. I mean, he's going to be less owned. He's going to be less owned than JT and Berger and Leishman.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I look at him every tournament for those same reasons. That's how he ends up every tournament: low owned, overlooked, and he either finishes way up there for you and you're in the money, or he just blows up and you get pissed off. Yeah. So, okay. But a no cut event, that's perfect.
Yeah.
All
right. 7K range. This one gets even more interesting because we have some guys we hate and some guys we love, but they're all here. Phil Mickelson, 79. Cabrera Bello, who's playing really good golf at 79. Mr. Usti, good old Usti, $7,800. You got Captain America at 78, Lee Westwood at 77, Bubba's, who's actually playing a little better lately, 77. JB Holmes coming off a really good weekend in Canada at 76. You got Wood, 76, Chappie, 75, Woodland, 75, Hoffman, 74, who was 10-3 last week, by the way. Harmon, 74, Peter, 73, Schauffele's playing really well at 73, Schwartzel, 72, Duffner, 72, Fisher, Kiz, Olsen, Henley, Wiesberger, Sullivan, and Fitzpatrick. So, yeah, way too many guys I should have not named off. Bucks, start us off in a very loaded, very sneaky – this could be the range that decides the GPP winner right here, in my opinion.
For sure, yeah. Yeah, I think
– Bucks?
Yeah, so I think there's a ton of guys around here that I think work well. But there's only a few that I'm going to target just because of the roster creation stuff. Hoffman at 7,400 is just insane to me. I don't know if I'm going to play him, but it seems pretty hard to pass up at that price range. I think he'll be super chalky, but we'll have to see. Harmon's another guy I love. Four score, birdie or better percentage is great. Always kind of around the leaderboard, that kind of thing. Charles Schwartzel is another guy I'll be targeting. And then my number one core play of the week is going to be Jason Duffner. So he really good around par fours, 19th in strokes gained total, 24th in tee to green, 13th in birdie or better in par fours, and then 5th in par four scoring. So I think he's been playing well too, so he's kind of my specialist this week, and I think he'll be lower owned, and so that's why he's going to be kind of my core in every lineup.
Fair enough. What do you got, Jesse?
I can dig it. I think one guy who's trending up and has been playing very well and showed it this past week is Gary Woodland, absolute bomber. He kind of fell off mid-year, but he started to play a lot better recently. I'll also have a lot of Xander Schauffele. I think he's a great play. He's shown up in big events, top 20 at the British Open, played really well at the U.S. Open, and finished fifth. Of course, had the win at the Greenbrier. His recent form is great, and he's another guy who just absolutely bombs it out there and can go low. So he's actually probably going to be in a lot of my lineups this week. If you want to call it a core, then that is totally fine by me. I think Rafa is very intriguing just because he has played really, really, really well recently. It's weird when he comes over to the States. He doesn't seem to perform as well as he does when he's over in Europe. So I think a little bit of him is not a bad idea. But I don't know about playing a whole heck of a lot because he could potentially bomb out. Has one appearance here in 2012, and it was 29th. So, not bad. You could take a 29th out of them this week, but nothing, you know, out of this world. No Louis, can't do it. Bubba's interesting. I don't know how much I'll have of him, but another guy who's trending in the right direction for sure.
Most definitely. Yeah, Rafa, he's definitely on my radar. I think I'll have a pretty, you know, like I'd say 30-40%. I like the way he's playing, but your point about him coming over to the U.S. is so true, because I remember we were really, really high on him earlier in this year because he was crushing it on the European tour. And then he looked like a freaking 20 handicap at times. So you got that. I like the way JB Holmes is playing. I know he can be so infuriating to watch, but he has been playing really well. And when he's driving it, he'll be very much in contention. Hoffman, that price is just ludicrous. It's not equal to Adam Scott's pricing to me, but it's pretty darn close to the way he's playing right now. Mm. You can't ignore Hoffman. Shoffley, I am all about Shoffley. You've turned me on to him a while ago, and I think I saw when I was looking at my stats, he's like third on par four scoring right now or something. He's just playing great. Harmon, Bucks, we have to keep our lefties together. So I'm all about some Harmon. You can't take that cut at the Open too seriously. It's his first time there.
Yep.
I don't factor that in. There's certain guys you can factor a miscut at the Open. I don't factor it in for him at all. And then the last guy, and if you guys have an opinion on him, I'm curious, but we were talking the ability to bomb it here, and he was probably going to be chalky, but what about Tomas Peters?
Tomas? He's in a no-cut event, you know, going back to – he reminds me of Justin Thomas because he is, you know, 44th missed cut, 13th missed cut, 14th, 4th, 30th missed cut. I mean, just – all the time sprinkling miscuts. So it's definitely worth taking a chance this week on him, because he can, you know, he can bomb it, and he can score, you know, he can score low scores basically. So yeah, I would look at Peters. I wouldn't take a whole heck of a lot of him, but you know, a lot of it has to do with his tout percentage too. I think he's going to be kind of a popular name that people are going to throw out.
That's what worries me. He's always chalky.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to the 69 and below. Let's take it home. I am not going to read off the rest of the list, but there's a lot of the babies that have won this year. There's some that are, I don't know, picks down here. So, Bucks, kick us off in the 69 range or 69 below.
Guys down here, and frankly, a ton of guys that probably shouldn't be down here, but obviously with having 75 or 76 people, no cut event, I mean, right. So – I probably won't range, but some of the guys that I was looking at, if I do, Jimmy Walker, Steele, and then one guy that I got to look more into, he's been playing well, and I think that this course may set up well for him, depending on kind of the conditions and how windy it gets, is Bryson. I think he had kind of an anomaly that I saw coming a mile away because of the wind conditions and kind of being so into mathematics the way that he is. I thought that he was going to get a little uprooted at the British Open. So I think if it comes back this week and he can get inside the top 15, it would not surprise me at all.
I can get behind that. What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of this region down here, and I'm going to try to be more balanced and not dip down below 7,000, because I think that some of these guys will be over-owned because of the whole Stars and Scrubs deal. But if I'm getting down here, I think Kyle Stanley's worth a look. Great tee to green game. If he can get the putter going, he can be there and he can score with any of these guys. Hudson Swafford, you know, was on him. We were on him last week, and he's another guy who kind of bombs it. And he kind of played blah after the first day of the TD Open, but he did shoot 65, and that's two straight rounds of 65 opening up. So the guy can score. It's just, and at 6,300, it's, you know, pretty amazing. You mentioned Steele, and one thing about Steele is he's only 4,900 on FanDuel. I actually made it to him earlier today on FanDuel and put him on it because of that price. That price is ridiculous.
Crazy. So,
it's horrible.
Yeah, And then Swofford is 4,500 on FanDuel. Rusty Henley's 5,200 on FanDuel. They have really, really soft pricing this week on FanDuel. I'm gonna play probably quite a bit over there just because of that and this no cut deal. But I'm not a huge fan, like I said, but you can get down here and find some decent value. There's also some guys, you know, just do not touch at all whatsoever. Kenny Willett, Wang, and then also Chuck Norris's son, Sean Norris. Do not play him.
I'll be looking at a guy none of you mentioned, and I know he can be frustrating at times, but he's really, really good just approach to the green and everything. Molinari's 6,800. I can't ignore him. His putter is infuriating, but he's worth a look to me. Stanley was the top of my list down here. I love his game. Steele, Walker. When Bucks pointed out Walker's price this morning, I almost drove off the road. That's too cheap. And then one name, and I hope he's not chalky after last week, but – when you're talking bombers and a no-cut event, guys that can go low, Johnny Vegas is very sneaky because he has those low rounds in him. He has the blow-up rounds, and he might be chalky because of last week, but he's a bomber, and if he's hitting it well, he could put up a low round or two that could be very helpful at this range.
Yeah, he's got to get that. He's got to get his putter going, which he did last week. And then so a lot of it's dependent on that, but his short game has been terrible. So if he can make putts, he can definitely ball strike with these guys for sure.
Yeah, but I agree also. I don't really want to have too many decisions below 7K. I don't think it's going to be too necessary unless you're going stars and scrubs.
Right.
All right. I had a typo. It's not Pooney. Bucks, what's your top punt plays this week? Like low price guys. We kind of just mentioned them, but give me like one or two that you're really focusing on down there.
Yeah. Again, this week I'm not going to go too far below, but if I had to play somebody down there that I think will be pretty low owned, it would be Bryson or Lucas Glover's another one that I like this week. I think he'll be super low owned, but really good on par fours, surprisingly. One of those guys I think could do something. Again, a good punt play.
What about you, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, I would stick with Stanley or Swofford. There are some other names down here. If you go down here and look, like Scott Hand, he's a very up and down golfer. He plays most of the Euro Tour. And he can bomb it. And if he can make putts, you know, just like with most any of these guys, he can go low. I mean, he finished 20th at the Irish Open and scored 101 fantasy points. So you never know, but I'm trying to stay out of it. So my punt would be Stanley or Swofford. Those are probably the only two I'll have a whole lot of down here.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning. I really, really wish I could get behind our boy Flat Bill Pat Perez, who's been playing really well, but he's struggled since he went across the Atlantic. Not playing good at all over there. But you never know. He might be able to put something together. But, yeah, I'll stick with Stanley. And I like Molinar. I know people don't like the guy, but he's really good at that par four and a tee to green type deal. So I like Molly a lot. But he's better for those cut events because he just wanted to get the cut. Top bust, like kind of the higher priced guys that are going to be heavily owned that just aren't going to produce. Jesse, who are you looking at?
I'm just going to go with Spieth because at the $12,000 price, he really, really has the top five, if not win. Is that possible? Yes. But I think I would rather avoid the 30% ownership there and hope that he doesn't win. Than be on the 30% or more side and have to, you know, get everything else right in order to win a GPP.
Definitely. What about you, Bucks?
Yeah, I could definitely see Spieth being that guy because at that price, you're right. He does have to win, maybe come in second, but really a win is what you're looking for at that price point. But there's three guys that consider a bust just because I know what their ownership's going to be like. And that would be Scott. I know he has some good track history here, but I just don't see him playing well. He's really struggled with the putter. He hits the ball amazing every week, but I just don't see him pulling it out. I mean, I'm looking for guys that I think at any price range that I think can win, and I don't see him doing it. So he would be one. Bellows, another one. He's been playing amazing golf, but I don't see him coming over here playing against this field and lighting the world on fire. But it's that no-cut event, and he murders the ball, makes a ton of birdies, and so he could definitely do it, but I think he's going to disappoint his owners. And then the number one guy I have on my list for a bust this week, and it pains me to do this because he's my boy, is Ricky Fowler. After watching some replays of the British, his swing was so bad, and I'm not saying that matters for this week, but there was not something clicking in his swing, and then add that to the fact that he's just, as far as this field is concerned, less than mediocre on par fours. I'm going to stay away from him because, again, at that price point, I'm probably looking at a top 10 minimum for him, and I don't think he's going to get there.
Yeah, I can see all that. Spieth, for me, like you said, we say it a lot with these top price guys. They have to basically top five at worst, top three probably, if not better than that, to get their value for you. If you go down below 10, there's a guy that we know he's a really good golfer. He just can't consistently do it, and he hasn't shown it to me in a while. I'm assuming it's you guys as well. You watch even more golf than I do. But and he gets touted all the time. But Jason Day at 9,400 just has not produced like a 9,400 guy. I know he's produced well, but not to that level. And everybody swears he's the Jason Day of old, and he has not shown it yet. So I just don't see him pulling that out at that price tag. And everybody loves him, and I think he'll be highly owned and just not produce. Core players, we kind of mentioned a few. Bucks, give us your core.
My core right now is Rahm, Duffner, and JT. All of them, no cut event guys. Duffner, I think, is I would categorize him there because he can have some blowups, but he can also go pretty low. If I had to pick one more for the no cut, probably Berger.
Yeah, I like that a lot. What about you, Jesse?
Probably going to be heavy Stinson, Xander. And Fleetwood, I'm going to get back on him too. And then we've already talked about Rahm a little bit. I like Rahm quite a bit this week. So those would be my,
We're playing in the US this week, Jesse.
Well, it's, hey man, you know what? It's not my problem that the Euros are playing better than us Americans are.
Yeah. It's funny. You mentioned that Bucks, cause every time I look at lineups I make, it's like, they almost are all straight Euros. And if anybody's listened to any shows I've done with Jesse before this, like, I just love Euro golfers. It's,
yeah, I mean, we're all over them every week, Bubba. Me and you, we don't care.
I just want to make money, so I'm good with that.
I mean, I'm looking at a lot of ownership there. I think Stinson will be low owned, Fleetwood will come in lower owned, and Xander will be lower owned too. So, I mean, on my main lineup, I think those three at least will be on there. Well,
and that's what we always talk about. These Euros are super low owned. So compared to the guys in their same price range from like the U.S. My guys, just real quick, I think I'm going to go up top, Rahm, Rose. I'm going to rotate with them. And then in the middle, JT and Berger and some Leishman. And then down in the sevens, Hoffman and Schauffele, kind of mix and match those. And then that gives me five in a lineup. And then I'll sprinkle a sixth in that combination somewhere along the way. Maybe dabble a couple others, but we'll see. Last but not least, we don't need the odds, but who's your pick to win, Jesse?
I'll go Paul Casey.
He's not going to own him in DraftKings, folks, but he's winning the tournament.
Hey, if I don't say that, he's going to win. So what do you want me to do?
I know. I love it. Love it. What about you, Bucks?
I'll just preface by saying, outside of Dustin Johnson, my pick to win would be Duffner.
Wow. And your prefacing is fair because Dustin Johnson is literally should be favored at almost every week, especially on a course like this. But I'm with you. Outside of Dustin, it's a guy that I talk a lot of trash on, but I always say it with the caveat that he's super talented. I think John Rahm has a sneaky good yeah. shot to make the team this week. I really do.
I agree.
And for those that have heard some of my podcasts with Jesse, I have railed on how much of a child he is. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, he flashed some good form recently, so I like him as well.
All right. Any last words, Bucks?
No, I think this is going to be it's going to be an awesome event, man. All these WGCs, especially this one, have a major feel. The players are getting paid a ton of money to play in this event. So it's going to be really exciting golf. Have the winner coming in at 16 under. So two back-to-back weeks of some pretty low scores.
Jesse, last words, and I believe you had a listener question.
Yeah, I mean, if you got a run, Bucks, you're good to go, man. But either way, a couple of things. It's going to be a great event, like Bucks already said. No cut, a lot of birdies, a lot of big names. It's going to be a very fun event to watch all week. As far as the questions go, we had one about Sesame Street. Unfortunately, I don't have any children, so I have no idea about Sesame Street and why Elmo talks in the third person.
I think Bucks
would know, Bucks.
I probably would know.
So the other more quote unquote serious question was cash game strategy. How many players, multiple lineups, from one of the guys on Twitter there. And, you know, for me this week, I will not play any cash games at all whatsoever. There's absolutely no edge to be had. Therefore I'll completely avoid cash games. I do like to play smaller GPPs, so like a $27 buy-in with 10 or 11 people, I still think is a good strategy. On a typical week, if I'm playing cash, I have one lineup. If you're less risk-averse, I would recommend going with potentially two lineups, but I would keep a core of at least four guys.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look at cash versus GPP. I myself think there are cash game plays, but every single lineup is a GPP lineup, no matter what. Yeah. In golf, it's just so difficult with a cut that you can't really – there's really nothing, quote-unquote, that is safe. So I think there are safer individual plays, but there's no real safe lineup itself. So it totally depends, I think, on your – you know, aversion to risk, basically. How risky can you be with your money? You know, if it's not a big deal for you to lose it, then hammer it, you know, with one lineup. If it's a big deal, maybe a couple lineups and don't play as much.
I think the big thing for me, cash versus GPP, if you're going with cash, like you said, having a core group of guys, if you're going one or two lineups, whatever. But definitely the biggest difference for me is I'm rarely going to look at what I think the ownership percentage is, and I'm going to be looking more heavy to the guys that make cuts.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes.
Yeah, it's more your Stewart Cink types. All right. Well, that's some good stuff. Should be a fun tournament. Those of you that aren't, you know, locked in, it's in South Carolina. Can anybody tell me why it locks at 9 p.m. on Wednesday night?
I'm guessing that's a DraftKings mess up there.
Good, because that confused the heck out of me. I'm like, I know we're in the U.S. What, like, we playing night golf global? What are we doing here? like, Jesus.
It's hit locked at 7 a.m. I mean, they're in Ohio.
Ohio. It's a small field. Small field. Don't tee off at the crack of dawn. So, yeah, lots of light there.
8 or 9.
Okay. Well, it's going to be an awesome tournament. Like we said, best of the best. Check us out on Twitter, guys, around Always Pressing Pod. It's your PGA DFS weekly deal. It's going to be some good stuff. As always, follow Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. You can get Bucks at BP Snow 11, Big Bucks, No Whammies. Check me at BD Entrick. But again, thanks for listening, everybody. This was Always Pressing Pod, your WGC Bridgestone Invitational Preview. Catch you guys next week.